I'm Christopher Leiden. This is Open Source with a hot name in disruptive innovation, Sebastian Thrun. He's part of our conversation on hacking higher education. He's the founder of the Google X Lab, immersed in robotics and artificial intelligence, in building the driverless car, among other things. But he's more than all that. 3 years ago, he offered his Stanford University Introduction to Computer Science class online for free. And quickly, he had an enrollment of over 160,000 students from all over the world. It was the start of a craze in so-called MOOCs, massive open online courses, a craze that he's still retooling. The company he started in his living room, Udacity, is now set on reinventing higher ed inside a computer on a billion-dollar scale. We asked him for his essential principles in remaking the university.
So first of all, I think we have to really reinvent the basic learning experience. For those of those who can make it to a physical classroom at Harvard or MIT, they are very well served. But most of us have a busy life, they have to stay at home, and we have to squeeze learning into these little minutes here and there. And there's so far no really great learning experience. I think we have to do much, much better to engage people and make learning fulfilling. And then we have to make it really accessible. We have to really find ways to reach people who are busy, people internationally, people all stages in life. And if you ask me for the third one, I would say we should make it bleeding edge. We should really go and find ways to get the content so up to date that it's really relevant for your work.
Start with the learning experience. Classroom, online, individual, mentorships, apprenticeships. What's the process you're talking about?
In a classroom, a professor is forced to take all the students with the same steps exactly at the same time, almost in lockstep. And as a result, all the students have to digest the material at the same time. When you're learning at a computer, you can go at your own pace. And that sounds very insignificant until you realize that when you, for example, play a video game and try to figure out a puzzle in a video game, it's absolutely essential that you're being afforded the time it takes for you to gain mastery. And the ability to do this when you are learning works the best, whether it's in the morning or the evening, is really a big deal to make learning more successful. On top of it, there's something called adaptive learning, where the learning side adapts to you and to your needs. When it finds out that you are maybe a little bit slower in something and need more practice, you just get more practice. So learning becomes individualized. It becomes tailored to you and not just to a broad mass of students.
Sounds like an apprenticeship or a mentorship.
Yeah, in classical words, tutors and mentors do that. Now Udacity can do this at scale. So you can come to us and find a completely different learning experience.
You talk about accessibility. We know there are class lines in American education. A lot of people left out. Some people can't afford college education anymore. What's to do? And are we in the business of seeking out the geniuses and the successful people, or is there a way of actually making them?
At Udacity, we want, of course, everybody to have a chance. And sadly speaking, not everybody has access to broadband, so we're not quite there yet. But a lot of people do, and a lot of people have mobile phones and mobile tablets, and all of those can now enjoy the learning experience. In terms of affordability, the college debt in this country is more than $1 trillion, and that's partially because of very high tuition fees. I think it's time to reset those. It's time to come back and price education at a level where people can just afford it. So everything we do at Udacity is about 10% of the tuition fees that you would pay at a normal university.
What's the business model for you, but what is it for us, our new university?
I think we should really go and experiment with new ways of education. The system that we have today, the degrees and the way we teach, has really been defined before even the car was invented, before modern technology existed, the telephone, the television, the internet, mobile and tablets. With these new technologies, there's an opportunity to do so much better than existing delivery methods, and there's an opportunity to go to scale and reaching so many more students. You might remember when we started Udacity, we had a class that reached 160,000 students. That's never happened before in a physical setting. Now we can really make classes amazing because we reach millions of students.
How do you hang on to them?
Getting them to finish has been a major challenge in this world, and we don't really deny this. When we started out, we had a finishing rate of about 3%. Now we are at about 60% or 70%. One of the big game changers has been for us to really give people kind of human contact, not just the computer program, but individualize and have mentors that work with you through this process. But we've done many, many other things to make this just a much better medium.
You speak about gamifying education, making it as addictive as video games. What are you recommending to us, to a new you?
I recommend to every university to relentlessly focus on the student experience. And the video game is kind of an analogy I'm bringing in, because to some extent, obviously Angry Birds in these video games and Candy Crush, they aren't really teaching you something useful, but they're teaching you something. And you learn by exploration, you learn by interacting, you don't learn by a professor teaching you the rules of Angry Bird for the first, 90 minutes. And as a result, students playing these games get a level of engagement that is very rarely seen at a regular college class. We should just be relentless. We should relentlessly optimize for the quality of the student experience so that learning becomes addictive. It should really be an addiction to learn.
You also speak of education as a medium, something like radio or television or movies, comparable. What do you mean?
Part of what we do is certainly a content medium. When you look at how technology has transformed certain media, then you can find analogies, for example, between theater and movies. In the theater stage, because of physical limitations, it was organized very much like a classroom, in that small groups of actors would perform for a small audience. And the economics would work the way that we couldn't really afford making these plays really, really great in most cases. And then, of course, movies came along, and it became perfectly okay to spend $100 million on one movie, because 100 million people might watch it, and it's just $1 a person. That same consolidation has not taken place in education quite yet, and I think we're at the beginning of that happening. We have superstar actors, but we don't have superstar professors or superstar teachers quite yet. But I believe through digital media and through Udacity and other companies in the space, we will see certain professors emerging as absolute superstars.
How would a superstar teacher, what would he look like or she look like? I mean, we're talking movie star, acrobat, comedian.
I think we already have one example, and it is Sal Khan with Khan Academy. Sal Khan has reached tens of millions of high school kids and taught them college math and other things like history. And while this is just the beginning, it really shows that a single individual with a great personality and great smarts is able to really transform the lives of tens of millions of people. Now, if you go fast forward, how does a great actor look like? Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise? They're just really amazing characters that amazingly are able to engage people. I think that level of engagement is what we're striving for at Udacity, and I think it can be achieved.
What do you learn from Michael Sandel's rock star standing as a philosopher in Asia, in China, in India?
I'm just completely blown away by what he's done and how it has really crystallized an entire generation of young people in this field to have a rock star professor. That kind of model to me is the model I'm after. We really take and make the production quality so good that the sheer enjoyment of being educated trumps the enjoyment of watching television, for example.
Do we know the secret? I mean, I've known Michael Sandel for years. I never saw the rock star in him.
I think in the world of acting, there's actors that are great for a Shakespearean stage, and there's actors who are fantastic for movies. And they're very, very different. Their personalities are different. Their styles are different. We know, for example, online, that the sheer lecturing of people is, by and large, relatively boring for most people. But if you make it more interactive and engage the student actively into the learning process, you not only get much better learning outcomes, but you also kind of mesmerize and engage the student in a much, much better way. So that we know, and we have lots of data on this. We know that a dialogue often trumps a monologue. People talking about a subject matter engages you more than being confronted with a face that makes you sometimes a little bit uncomfortable. So there's tricks you can inherit from the news media and bring into the teaching environment. But the most important thing that we really have learned, and Udacity has really internalized as part of our DNA, is it's all about the student. It's not about us. It's not about how we look and what we do. It's about the student. It's about student exercise. It's about student empowerment. It's about student projects. And when we go to the student and say, we let you do something and we help you yourself to develop those skills, then we win.
You have a young son, Sebastian Turun, and you're bringing him up on your educational principles. What's it like? What's he learning?
Well, this is something I'm, of course, very passionate about, but I can't claim myself being an expert because I only have one son and not 100 million sons. But my biggest concern for my education is I believe the world he's going into is governed by technology and rules we don't even anticipate today. So I can't really teach him those rules. What I can teach him is a curiosity an ability to learn, a willingness to fail, a willingness to try, a willingness to be fearless and really understand, and at the same time being humble about it. So most of the time I spend with him, we explore something together and we learn from it.
Is it all ice cream and fun, or does he find his own discipline?
I'm loving it. And I'm bringing the same principles that I bring to bear when we teach classes with Google and with Facebook, when I teach my own son at home, which is, it's about student empowerment, it's about self-confidence, it's about doing cool stuff. My son might not quite be able to build a web browser yet, but Udacity customers come and really learn how to be great data scientists using the exact same principles.
How will we draw him into our own new you?
I mean, for child dedication, it's a difficult matter because obviously when kids go to school, there's a custodial issue and so on. But I think in the end of the day, learning will fundamentally transform. Learning will become much more lifelong. It become much more of a fabric of our daily lives. Today, universities, when they're done with you, they shake your hand and they release you and they stop servicing you. I think the future university will be there for you from the very beginning, almost when you're born, all the way to the end, and really help you to retool yourself, to stay up to date, and so on, and to keep make learning kind of a prime thing throughout your entire life.
Sebastian Thrun, thank you so much. We'd love to welcome you and your son into our new you someday. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sebastian Thrun is the CEO of Udacity. He's the father of MOOCs in higher education. He was the founder of the Google X Lab. You can hear more of our series on higher ed at our website, radioopensource.org. Mary McGrath produced and edited this podcast with help from Max Larkin. I'm Christopher Leiden. Thank you for being part of our podcast project.